Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When you look at the time,
it's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. This feels better, doesn't it? This is the right day for mailbag. All week long, we've been opening up the mail courtesy of you. Today is the day we traditionally do it, so this feels right. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Oh boy. Jimmy?
Yes.
In case you didn't know this, here's a word to the wise. If you're going to do some talking, don't have a piece of chocolate right before you start. Oh boy. I could blow bubbles right now. It wasn't chocolate. Remember Josh Williamson came in from England? He brought a Cadbury, I believe, chocolates, this big tin of them. And I just gave in for the first time. And it wasn't chocolate. It was a caramel chocolate. Does that make, can you even do that? That's like saying vanilla strawberry. It was actually, it was the texture of chocolate, but it was caramel. Oh, man, that's good eating. You can also text 877-282-2337.
Okay, we start with Isaac, who has texted in, Todd, how should believers cope with the deaths of unsaved family members and friends?
It's hard. How do you cope? Well, of course, we keep doing what we always keep doing, and that is relying on the Lord. But that is a more grievous funeral. I'm sorry, that's just harder. It's sad when you lose a loved one who's born again. When you lose a loved one who's not, that's just weeping. It's all that is, and finding comfort in your Lord. Now, this is not in reference to the individual who just wrote in, because it's kind of a generic sort of question. This is why we need to be evangelizing our loved ones. But I'll make you a deal. You evangelize my loved ones, and I'll evangelize yours. Can we cut that deal? Because that would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Because one of the most difficult things to do is to witness to somebody that you grew up with or somebody that you love. Speaking of Thanksgiving, are you ready? Do you have a strategy in mind? Do you have to witness to your loved ones on Thanksgiving? No, I you don't have to, but wow, oftentimes it's an opportunity, isn't it? So try perhaps to persuade yourself this year that you're not going to wait for somebody to provide an opportunity, meaning you're not going to wait for somebody to say, so, I understand you're a Christian. Can you explain the gospel to me? Don't wait for that because you're not going to get that opportunity. But if they're coming to your home, especially if you're going into their home, I think that's maybe a different set of rules. But if they're coming into your home, the prayer could be gospel-centered. The giving of thanks. Hey, before we indulge in this feast, would like to read from the Bible to offer thanks to the God who provided it. Oh, that's another opportunity. You're out on the back deck talking to a loved one. Hey, haven't talked to you in a while about this. Where are you at with, you know, eternal things? And you make an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, having said that, should you feel like a horrible Christian if you don't witness? I'm tempted to say yes, but no, you shouldn't. What should you do if you've got hard relatives coming over, meaning it's really difficult to witness to them? Love them, be kind to them, enjoy them, especially if you've got relatives coming over that are really wayward. They have wandered off into a lifestyle that's really, it's like, oh, what do I do with these people? You love them. They're your relatives. Love on them and make the most of every opportunity. personally, if we could switch chairs, you come to my house, you do that for me, I would do that for you, because that's just easier, isn't it? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Teresa. Todd, we're going to another state to visit our nephew in about a month, and we wonder if we should go to the church he attends while we're there. Their church,
here it comes.
Their church leadership believes that it's fine to have women pastors, although their current pastor is a male.
Well, that's good. If they're Orthodox, I think you can go in that configuration. I personally would struggle if it were a female pastor. Even if it's Orthodox, I think that is such a clear violation of a really straightforward prohibition in the Bible that would indicate that that's a church that, while perhaps Orthodox on paper, isn't as robustly Orthodox in practice. But if they say the church offers, they would allow that, but currently they're not doing that and they're Orthodox, I think I could go. Jimmy, would you have any, I'd have some hesitation, but I think I could go. Could you?
Maybe.
Well, that's hardly helpful.
I would have some reservations for sure.
Right. But everything they're doing is Orthodox. They're not wonky. You disagree with them on that issue. Would you go to that church? Okay. So
maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying. You're saying the configuration in the question where there's not a female pastor.
That's right, currently.
Oh, yeah, I could go. Yeah.
That was the question.
I just misunderstood how you asked it.
I didn't ask it. You asked the question.
When you asked me.
Could you? 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Recently, Todd, you talked about churches that preach sin. I've noticed that my church does not. Any advice on how I can discuss this with my pastor?
Wow. All right. Do you hear this? Might not be able to find it while we're talking, but I know in this stack of stories, somebody wrote an article saying the number of churches that are no longer preaching about sin anymore. And I can't remember who, if it was a Barna study or whatever it was. But basically, the observation was churches refuse to preach about sin. And that's a trend? That is a horrible trend, because that's what our religion is about. Not sinning, but having our sins forgiven. What do you have to share with somebody if it's not about your sins being forgiven? Well, most likely it devolves into life hacks, application without any foundation. You really don't have a Christian church. We are the ones who specialize in dealing with sin. Furthermore, you've got the whole issue of sanctification, which is what the Christian life is about, growing in Christ's likeness, motivated because he has been so good to us. What do you have to share? Do you ever correct, rebuke, exhort? All of the things that elders are commanded to do. I don't know how you can be a church if you're not talking about sin. Josh, the chocolate bearer, he was sharing that he was at a something, not to get all specific. He was at a thing, a conference of some sort. He said, and it was a preacher in Great Britain from an evangelical church. And he was preaching on a text in the Old Testament. And Josh observed, everything he said, we would affirm. Everything he said. But a rabbi could preach the exact same sermon in his synagogue. Then it wasn't a Christian sermon. It maybe was accurate theologically, but Job points to Jesus. Every book in the Old Testament does. Luke 24, that's what Jesus said on the road to Emmaus. Every single book, he revealed himself. Oh, man, tell me that wouldn't have been a great walk, that you would have been able to hear from the master exactly where he is in the Old Testament. He's all over it. Just the Christophanies, there's no less than 20. Maybe as many as 30 or more Christophanies in the Old Testament. The plural language that is used, I think you could probably say it's 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 it it doesn't directly support it because it wasn't intended to be that. But the application could work. What am I talking about? Elohim. El is God. Elohim is plural. Now, does that mean that it's a reference to the Trinity? Because the word Elohim is used, I think, 2,600 times in the Bible. And I think most scholars would say that was not the original intention. It was the royal plural, a majestic plural. But it wasn't referring to the Trinity directly. Now, could it support the Trinitarian doctrine? You can debate that over dinner if you would like to. The point is, in the Old Testament, Jesus is everywhere. The question is, where exactly can he be found? You need to follow, I think, pretty strict typological rules, because if you don't, you're going to become allegorical and you're going to be just a train wreck in about a heartbeat. Otherwise, you'll see him there. Having said all of that, if you can't preach Christ and exalt Christ, it's not a Christian sermon. If you don't preach about sin, I don't know how that could even be considered Christian. As a rule, a church that never talks about sin, I'm not sure that's a church. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you talk about Christian things without talking about sin? Yeah, but this is Wretched Radio. A question sent to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, you can text away at 877-282-2337 asking about a church that never preaches about sin. Can you deliver a Christian sermon without preaching about sin? Well, yeah, but it would actually be pretty hard. For instance, let's say there's going to be a topical sermon on the subject of joy. All right, so what brings you joy as a Christian? Go ahead, share that without talking about sin, because that is what brings joy, isn't it? That we've been reconciled immediately, that implicates all of us that we're sinners because we need reconciliation with our God. Why? Because our sin has set us at war with our God. You can't really talk about what true joy is without talking about sin. You can't talk about the Beatitudes. Sanctification. Nope, that's about sin. Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Well, you can talk about some of what he does, but how's about, I think it's, you know, debatable, you could say his primary work is to convict the world of blank righteousness. Oh, that has to do with sin and justice. Oh, that has to do with sin too. So you could kind of talk all over the place, but I don't know how you can really present any theology in Christendom or any fruit of the Spirit that doesn't contain sin, because that is the fountain. Being forgiven for our sins, that's just it. That if you're going to boil down the Christian faith, it is about being forgiven by God because of Jesus. That's it. And so to talk about other subjects without it being connected to the foundation, really, I guess it could be done, but it's not going to be impactful and it will not be as potent, because Jesus dying for sinners, that's our cornerstone. Would you please send stuff also to 877-28? No, that's idea@wretched. You can text 87idea@wretched.go.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, on the issue of church discipline, what should a pastor look like to a member who has been brought under disciplinary action by a church? For example, should they be visited if they're in the hospital or if they're getting married and asked to be counseled and have their marriage officiated by the pastor? Should he still do so?
Under church discipline?
Uh-huh.
Well, if by under church discipline, you mean that the individual has been set out and you're waiting for a return? Am I interpreting that correctly?
That's the way I took it.
All right, that's what we're gonna work with. Then I would say at that time, until... Oh, could you do those things? Oh, because if it hasn't been formalized where it's like, that's it, the congregation has made the determination, you have not returned. So we are declaring what heaven has already thundered. You're out of here, because that's what church discipline is. We simply, by being very careful and thoughtful, we declare what heaven has already spoken. And determine that individual is not saved. But I would say this, I think as a general principle, if somebody is under discipline to the level of the body that has they've been met with, whether it's with the body or not, church discipline, man, church discipline is all about sifting, in a sense. Is the individual wheat or tare? Is the individual in the kingdom or out of the kingdom? And so while you're going through that process, I would say as a general rule, I would lean toward that individual should expect nothing from the pastor. Nothing. Because you're setting yourself out. We don't know where you stand. I can't do a Christian wedding if I don't know that you're a Christian. Now, if you want to be counseled as a part of your understanding of your sin, yeah, I would do that. So that's why I say, as a general rule, services of the pastor for somebody who is in the process, I think I feel safe in saying that. not just after the process has concluded, but during the process. I don't think so, and I don't think the pastor should feel horrible about it. There's something sort of connected to this, that this is why I think church membership is so important. We actually, I believe, articulated this in the Alpharetta Bible Church, our corporate documents, that if you're not a member of the church, we will serve you if we can, based on resources and time, but you shouldn't expect it, because priority goes to members. And if you're, I understand there's some people maybe in the process, you would certainly make an exception for that. But if somebody's not a member, they should not feel put off if the pastor says, I can't do it. I got to take care of the people that God has given to me as members of this local body, because the guy can only do so much. And if you're not a member, you just, yeah, I don't think that you have the right to demand any sort of service, whether it's counseling, performing a marriage, burial, anything. All that to say, become a member of a local church. Membership has its privileges, including being taken care of by your elders. 877-28. Did you want to say something, Jimmy? You look like you kind of did.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know, my kind of position on it when I was pastoring was, if you're not a member, I'm not going to perform a wedding. If I don't know you and you've not been a member of my church, and so if you've been put out from church discipline, you're not a member at that point.
Well, but even in the process, all right, so I'm talking about the multiple-step process.
Okay.
We've gone to him not showing repentance. Okay, it hasn't been brought to the body yet. And the body hasn't set the individual out yet. And I think, in fairness, some time to go by to see if the individual is going to react. It's an arbitrary number. So that's, you know, that can be months, that process. Right. I would, again, as a rule, say when that process starts, you're kind of in membership limbo at that point. And I don't think that the individual should expect it. And I don't see how it could work, actually. And why, furthermore, if you're not willing to repent of your sin, why do you want a church wedding? Why do you want a pastor residing over any? Why do you want biblical counseling if you're living in willful, persistent sin? And again, when I think about biblical counseling, if the individual said, hey, I know that you approached me about this sin, I haven't changed my mind about it, but, you know, hey, I'd like to get counseling. Well, I think that would be, okay, the individual at least is open to the rebuke. And that would be something that we would obviously then want to support. But if the individual is dead set in their sin, I don't understand why they would even want to be involved in the church at all. If you're not a member of a local church, please become one. You know, we put into our documents also, into church polity, that we will only promise to marry people who are members of the church, that are active, in good standing members of the church. I think, by the way, that takes care of all of the potential dangers and lawsuits for having to perform a same-sex wedding. You have to be a member. And somebody who is living in willful, persistent sin wouldn't qualify as being a member, so you don't need to say no to them because you're not a member, and you can simply point to your church documents and say, well, there it is right there. Very sorry, no can do. I think churches should consider their marriage policies. That might be one of the best protectors there is. Because should there come a time, I don't think we're in a dangerous season right now. I think we were like a year ago. But if it ever gets to the point where the Supreme Court determines, no, you have to marry somebody, you have to provide this service for people, you better be ready to have a mechanism put in place that says, we can't do it. And I think the best one is you've got to be a serving member. I'm speculating on this one. So pastor, do with this as you see fit. For the churches that have a statement about the definition of what marriage is and isn't, that statement was originally put into most church polity or both theological statements of faith to try to protect against the government's incursion on marriage. I'm not sure, but I see a way where that could actually be used against you now. If you haven't revisited that policy in a bit, you might want to take a look at it and send your thoughts, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea at red. What's the matter, Jimmy?
Then I wanted to say one more thing about.
No, you didn't.
I did.
I smell smoke in here.
No, the other part of the question was not only about should the pastor marry and counsel someone under church discipline, but also should they be visited in the hospital by the pastor? And I would say there's no problem with that. I think the pastor would want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. A lot of good ministry can happen in a hospital bed when somebody's confronted. By the way, if you didn't see the video that we posted about a week ago with Mike Fabares, please do. You'll have a new heart toward your pastor because he described the most painful thing that a pastor experiences is a member who leaves without ever saying goodbye because he said, hey, we'll get up at 2 a.m. to visit you in the hospital. And then you just leave us. It breaks our hearts. Don't do that. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The American College of Physicians just published a position paper reminding doctors that patient care, not organ harvesting, is their primary duty. Apparently, this needed to be said out loud. The ACP acknowledges that patients are currently subjected to painful procedures before death solely to preserve their organs for transplant, including inserting arterial catheters and administering massive doses of blood thinners that could worsen their injuries. The paper notes that 25 to 50% of these donors end up unable to donate anyway, and some actually survive to leave the hospital. The Supreme Court handed down a 6-3 ruling recently allowing the Trump administration to require Americans to mark their biological sex on passports. The majority rightly noted that displaying passport holders' sex at birth no more offends equal protection principles than displaying their country of birth. And the governor of the Bank of Canada, Tiff Macklem, delivered a grim message to Canadians recently: get used to a lower standard of living. While he blamed U.S. tariffs and protectionism, the reality is that the Liberal government in Canada has been spending out of control since 2015. Canadian families already spend 42% of their income on taxes, more than food and shelter combined. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Mark Carney just announced millions more in taxpayer money for LGBTQ communities and gender equality. The University of Houston has just canceled a course, the Confronting Oppression and Injustice course, from its social work program, drawing praise from those who think higher education should focus on job skills rather than political activism. And a federal appeals court ruled recently that Ohio's Olentangy Local School District can't force students to use preferred pronouns or acknowledge the gender identity of trans-identifying classmates. The Sixth Circuit found that the policy raised serious free speech concerns and noted the district introduced no evidence that the use of biological pronouns would disrupt school functions. And a Tennessee Democrat running for Congress in the state's 7th District called the Supreme Court's decision protecting kids from transgender procedures a gut punch and has campaigned with a drag queen who urged parents to bring their kids to his shows. And finally, a general in the Canadian Armed Forces made a tearful public apology for systemic racism, expressing regret that First Nations, Black, Asian, and other minority members face barriers while serving. When your armed forces are more focused on apologizing than defending, you might want to reconsider your priorities. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things you can do right now at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Reflux Radio. I know you're thinking Wretched Radio. No, it's Reflux Radio because that's what we were talking about, the reflux business and consumption of coffee. I have got a tip for you. If you've got the GERD or you've got any sort of ERPS where it kind of from down there comes up here and it burns your throat, coffee consumption. you might not have to quit. This is so counterintuitive to me, but the darker the roast, the less the acid. The processing of it, the longer it stays in that little rotisserie thing where it cooks the beans. I'm sure that's not the right word. Bakes the beans? Processes. Does to the beans whatever the process is for doing coffee beans to make them delicious. The longer it's in there, the acid goes away. So if you're thinking, I want to stay away from a really stiff cup of espresso-like coffee, actually, might be better for your gut. If that doesn't work, obey your doctor's orders. Please send stuff. Mrs. Hicks has the GERD.
She does have the GERD.
Yeah, we were talking about it in the hallway. Silent GERD.
Yeah.
Stealth.
That's right.
It doesn't tell you it's there. It just sets your throat on fire.
Yeah, they you know, you're talking about the coffee. They also sell a low-acid coffee, but it's so expensive.
Oh, so expensive.
Yeah.
What isn't? Honestly, come on, Golden Age. Let's go here. Let's get these prices. Coffee is crazy priced. We always have to hawk it on sale. At Publix, I don't know if you got a Publix near you, every other week they do twofers. Mm. And that's helpful. It's still too expensive. And by the way, here's another shopping tip brought to you by Reflux Radio. That when you do the two for one, at least at Publix, you don't have to buy two.
That's right.
You just buy the one and you get it at half price.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody does that.
My daughter told me that. It's like, what? How did I not know this? I've been buying two of it just because, you know, you feel like you're getting a deal. You buy so many groceries that you'll never use just because I think I'm actually making money here. Well, you don't have to buy both of them. You just get them at half price. You're welcome. Now, in exchange for that very helpful information, would you please send us some wretched information to idea@wretched.org or text with whatever is on your mind, knowing full well Jimmy cannot respond because...
We're poor.
No, I don't want to impugn your integrity, but what kind of a phone system doesn't allow you? Are you sure you're shooting straight with us?
I'm shooting straight with you. I just don't know how to use it. Maybe we need to get some tech support.
Well, if we had some. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my parents have been members of our local Bible-believing church for several years now, but they feel they're not connected to anyone. Mm. They say other people have all of these friendships and connections while they don't feel included. What should they do?
There's a couple of options here. Let's do the hard one first. Anytime that you are not successful in fostering a friendship or a dating relationship, you've got to ask yourself the question, this is the hard part of the response, is there something about me? Are we an issue here? It's an opportunity to do a little introspection and see if you need to grow in a particular area, and that ain't a bad thing. So you can't take that off of the table. Having said that, my other suggestion might be to ask, how much of an effort are you making? How much of an effort are you making? Every church should be so open-armed toward other believers, but let's be honest, it happens. You kind of fall into cliques. It's not great. You should strive to work against that. One of the best ways that you can do that, I think, is after the Sunday service, don't talk to the same people every Sunday. Find new folks. Engage with other people. For whatever reason, you don't think that they're your cup of tea. Well, do tea with them anyway, because it'll expand your relationships. So it could be that the church currently has a culture that makes it harder for people to be let in. In that situation, I would say, well, then you're just going to have to keep knocking. You're going to have to keep pursuing. You're going to maybe have to try harder. If you're waiting for people to go, hey, how's about brunch this Sunday? You might be waiting a long time. Initiate it. Try to get it. When you see people standing around talking, just cozy up. Just kind of get yourself nudged in there. And whether you participate or not, you might just, if the church is kind of, for whatever reason, it's a little bit more difficult to make a relationship, then you're just going to have to work a little bit harder. Now, there is kind of a nuclear option that is a possibility. I don't think that it's the rule, But I think an exception could be that you've got a church culture that just isn't healthy. That is an option. I've been to those churches. I'm telling you, if you got any sort of Christian spidey sense, you can feel it in a church that is just brr. You walk by people, they don't even look at you. It's like, what? Nobody greets you. You even try to have a conversation with somebody and you feel like, it's like, I didn't just shoot your dog. Why are you like so chilly here? There could be a church culture. It could be an issue where you want to bring it to your elders. I don't think it's an issue that should cause you to leave. It should be something that you observe and say, you know, the culture around here, it's not really great. I wonder if the pastor even knows. I'm going to assume that he doesn't and maybe have a chat with him. Interestingly, if you do have a conversation with him, you could start it with, hey, pastor, I'm having a hard time making friends here. What do you suppose is it? Do you see anything in me? Is there something I don't know about the culture here? Have you ever observed that? Do other people complain? So in other words, it's more of a question than an accusation. And you might be shocked. He might go, you know what? I had no, actually, now that you bring it up, I think I need to start preaching more about this particular issue as much as the text will provide, so that he can start to develop and foster a community of friendship and fellowship. So I think those are your options. Jimmy, you got any other ones?
Yeah, so this isn't specifically to the question asker, because I'm not saying that they're not, but one choice would be to start serving and maybe—
Just getting involved.
Yeah, getting involved, because relationships form kind of naturally there in those situations. And if you are serving, serve somewhere different, you know, go move and do, if you've been an usher, go somewhere else and start talking and communicating with new people.
Yep. You become a greeter. There's another one, become an usher, where you get to welcome people who come into the church and they can't avoid you. Gotcha. 877-282-2337.
This is from AJ. Todd, I've heard several times that once dating someone starts to get really serious, you should disconnect yourself from certain friends, specifically friends of the opposite gender. Mm. What do you think? If I'm dating to avoid jealousy, should I begin to stop talking to my female friends?
I'm going to take a step backward even. Female friends. Now, I don't think that we need to be gender segregated all of the time. But Jimmy, but even when you were single, did you have a lot of female friends?
Not that I would say we're friends, like I would say.
Acquaintances.
Acquaintances, people that you knew and you're friendly with.
School, you work with them.
I didn't hang out with them.
Yeah, so that strikes me as a little, I don't know, it just doesn't kind of, for me. I'll translate that for you later. Do you need to stop having those friends once it starts getting serious? Well, you don't cut people off. You don't just abruptly ghost them. But do you need to start being even more protective? Yeah, I think so. You should have been protective before, but even more so now. And you want to avoid any hint. Also, you want to honor the one that you're courting, pursuing, whatever you want to call it. So for those reasons, I think you need to start developing those habits now. Now, if you're hearing this and you're going, so wait, a guy who's married can't like talk to other women? Didn't say that. But you should be mindful that there are snares and dangers everywhere, and you want to be thoughtful as to how you go about the business of having female acquaintances, whether it is at work, church, neighborhood. You got to be mindful of that. And you got to have some rules for that. Now, the good news is in church, that's the easiest place to do it. Oh, okay, here's a good for instance. Libby, is she in today, by the way?
I don't know.
David was in counseling. I didn't see Libby. She was in yesterday, I think. At any rate, she's a Fortis fellow. Please listen to her podcast, The Better Way. Did I mention Josh Williamson was here from England? His wife actually listens to the podcast, because it's really super good. And she's also at church. She heads up the women's counseling at Alpharetta Bible Church. And there are times when I need to communicate with her. So you know who gets a text? She and her husband do. And guess what? When she sends me a text, it goes to Mrs. Friel too. Why? Does it mean that we don't trust. No, we're just being wise. We're just being wise. And nobody's offended. Nobody's bugged by that. The culture in our church, everybody's like, yep, I get it. Totally understand. Because you just want to honor your spouse. And you just don't want to start down a road that could lead to temptation. So protect. Come up with, same thing with work. Ask yourself, you're a godly man. Should you be driving in a car with a woman to go to lunch? You're looking for trouble, especially if you're married. Come up with rules. And if somebody gets offended by it, yeah, well, yeah. This is Wretched Radio. That was pretty articulate. Yeah, yeah. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And talk to the dudes in your church. This is Wretched Radio. If you're wondering how to navigate courting, dating, marriage, relationships with people of the opposite gender when you're married, talk to the older men in your church. They've been there. They've done that. They can provide the wisdom that you need to create rules. This is not to be flaky and weird. This is called wisdom. Temptation, you'd think you're above it. Take heed lest you fall. There's a perception issue. You've got a temptation issue. You've got a perception issue. And you've got an honoring issue. I'm telling you, you go out, you're married at work, and you go out to have lunch with a woman at work, or it's even a client, and it's just the two of you there. You just see the look on your wife's face when you tell her that. Now, she might not appear to be too concerned about that. I think every woman is just wounded by something like that. You honor your wife. And if it costs you something, so be it. The Lord will honor you for honoring her. Please send your thoughts on the subject or anything else. 877. What? You've got that pensive look on your face.
No, I was just going to say that.
See, you always do that. You always do that.
Well, you can't see me. I can't see that you can see me right
now. I can see you just fine. You've got that look on your face. And then when I say, is there something you want to say? Well, no. And then you talk.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're the guy who goes, hey, I hate to interrupt.
No, I don't.
But you do.
I don't. No, you know that. I'll come in and say, hey, I'm interrupting. And then I interrupt.
I'm not apologizing at all.
That's right.
Look out. I want to talk to somebody in the room.
Now, what I was going to say is that you brought up, you know, look at your wife's face. If you tell her that you're going to go out to lunch or you're going in a vehicle to lunch with another someone from work, think about how you would feel if she did that to you.
Oh, not good.
No.
That's like, okay, hold on. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
What exactly? What did you guys talk about? Why did you do? Oh, yeah.
That should clear it up real quick.
Yeah, it should. That brought a lot of clarity. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or you can text 877-282-2337.
Here, this is from Josh. Todd, I'm struggling with the concept of forgiveness. I was moved recently by Erica Kirk's statement that she has forgiven Charlie's killer. However, this statement has sparked some tension within my wife's parents and the rest of the family. Her parents liken Erica's statement to squishy Christianity and claim that forgiveness can only happen if the offender repents and asks for forgiveness. They claim that forgiveness can only happen under these circumstances. And I've always viewed forgiveness as something that we as Christians should do regardless of if the person who offended us asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, there's two sides to this. It's not just your family. There are a lot of really good believers who disagree on this issue. Must a transaction take place for you to grant forgiveness? On the one hand, you've got people who would say, absolutely, otherwise, a transaction hasn't taken place. You can't forgive something if they don't ask for forgiveness. Then further, and they equate it to the gospel. You can't have your sins forgiven by God unless you repent. Okay, that's that side. There are other people on the other side who would go, nope, 70 times 7. Furthermore, if we're going to use salvation as the baseline for what a transaction of forgiveness looks like, then not only does the person need to repent, they need to put their trust in you. Okay. So you got good believers on both sides of it. And I feel both of those personally. And I think the common ground that can happen in between would be that we all agree that the individual who has been sinned against is like, I want to forgive. I am ready to forgive. My heart is a heart of forgiveness. I am ready to do it. Oh, the other reason that the original folks would say there's got to be a transaction, if your brother sins against you and repents 70 times 7, now, people on the other side would say, well, that wasn't giving an exact, that is a part of the transaction that needs to take place. The spirit of the text is that you have a heart filled with forgiveness because you've been forgiven. So you can go round and round all day. I don't think this should be an issue that starts a family fight. You got good people on both sides. Can we all agree the heart of the Christian is a heart of forgiveness? Jimmy, which side of the coin are you on?
Yeah, I think we're always aimed towards forgiveness.
Yeah. But do you think repentance, somebody has to come to you and say, Jimmy, please forgive me before you'll grant it?
No, because I don't think we forgive people for them. We forgive people for us.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
This might change your tune, Pally boy. I'm not Stuart Scott, John. Stuart Scott. What?
That's the ESPN guy, wasn't it?
No. Well, Stuart, maybe it is.
Oh, that's
Biblical
Stuart Scott.
Counselor.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Passions of the Heart.
Yeah.
Dr. John
Street.
Thank you. I was going to say Kratz. By the way, speaking of, as long as I brought up John Kratz, you got to listen. You got to listen to his podcast. I just saw an email of somebody said their life just got flipped upside down in a great way because he tries to apply the Bible to reality and he does an awesome job at it. It's called Thrive. No, that's Brad Bigney. Dude, I don't think I've told you. I'm not supposed to talk about this. But just between you and me, I think we've got two new podcasts coming up in 2026.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh.
You just lied, didn't you?
No, me?
Because that just increased Jimmy's workload a little bit. We'll have to talk about how we're going to get a... You're pretty much at Meg. You don't know what Jimmy does around here. Neither, nobody actually does. But I think that he produces all of the podcasts. So you do Wretched. Mm-hmm. And you do all of the production and the voicing on all of the other podcasts.
Correct.
All right, Dave lends some support. So we got to give props to Dave. Mm-hmm. But you're the man responsible for all of those. So we're throwing two more at you.
Okay.
Buckle up. They're going to be so, you're going to be like, no way. Those guys are going to do a podcast as a part of Fortis Institute? Yeah. So Dr. John Street, no, Dr. John Kratz, Brad Bigney, the podcast is integrated.
That's it.
Got it. Why do I feel like I just drove to South Dakota and back? 877-282-2337.
Here's a text from Anna. Todd, I'm really interested in the end times, but eschatology is so confusing. If God is not a God of confusion, why is this still a topic of hot debate and remains unclear?
Well, let's use any other ology besides eschatology. There's other theologies that we goof up. So God is not a God of confusion. We're the people of confusion. It's on us. We're the ones who just don't get it. It's crystal clear in God's mind. He articulated beautifully. It says that we goof it up. That's all there is to it. We goof it up. Speaking of God articulating clearly, I was for Sunday's sermon at ABC, been thinking about what's coming up with first. We're going to be going into 1 Peter. And so I've been diving really deep into 1 Peter. And I thought, wow, this guy's writing is so big, so profound. It's just like, whoa, how did a fisherman pen that? Now, I don't think Peter was dumb. Clearly he wasn't an illiterate man, but we have no reason to believe that he was like this amazing author. So how do we account for the style of Peter being very evident and the profundity of what he wrote? It's the Holy Spirit. It just screams Holy Spirit. Same thing with Matthew. It's like that gospel, man, I'm telling you. Wow, what a tapestry that thing is. Just woven together beautifully. How did that guy, that tax collector, pull it off? The Holy Spirit and his personality. So the Bible is magnificent. We should be able to understand it. We just don't. And it's not just eschatology. We kind of tussle over a number of ologies. So God isn't a God of confusion. We're the confused people. Do your best and I think the best thing that you can do if you're studying eschatology that will help you have a real systematized and consistent theology on end times, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics and eschatology, they have got to be friends. I mean, really good friends. If they are disconnected, you're going to come up with an inconsistent eschatological position. You're going to look at Israel one way and then the church another way. And then it is, we're not exactly sure what to do with the Jewish people in the end. It is a consistent hermeneutic that I think is demanded when it comes to eschatology. If you don't, I'm telling you, you will have an eschatological dog's breakfast. You'll just, you will forever be confused. But if you practice a consistent grammatical historical hermeneutic, then you will come up with my eschatology, which is exactly right. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.